Trust Business Lunch. This is WGN Radio. Pete Zimmerman produces. This is John Williams. We appreciate you joining us. Anna DeVlantis ready to keep you going after 1 o'clock this afternoon. And here we go. John DeGerion joins us Tuesdays at this time, the founder of MarketRebellion.com, the financial news and education. It's a subscription site. You can visit MarketRebellion.com or just listen for him here. John, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, what a day in American history. Today, tomorrow, maybe the day after that when the results finally come in and are finally resolved. But whenever that is, you say that if there is uncertainty about the results, if it's a contested election, that the market will probably react, right?
Oh, yes. The market had priced in a blue wave about a month ago. And then as the polls tightened up, volatility came back again, which we all saw and felt last week. And now going into tonight's, well, again, I don't know that we'll have a result tonight, just as you said. I won't belabor it. But as we go into the final day of electing a new president and Congress, it seems that the markets are more sanguine and are more willing to, people are more willing to put money into the market rather than pulling it out as fast as they were last week.
I wonder what that means, though. I mean, why? What was the last number we just saw in the Dow? Was it 400 points? The Dow was up quite a bit. I'm waiting for it to scroll by me again here. But, I mean, is that a bet that Biden becomes president and the Congress begins to spend more money than the Republicans? Or is it simply the closer we get to certainty, the better we'll know what we've got, and this is the market just saying we're there now?
I think it's a lot more of the latter, that the closer we get to certainty. The markets know, in all likelihood, we would not see, just as you say, as robust a spending package under a purple Congress, let's call it, that we've had for the last couple of years. And the question is that if either of the gentlemen running for president were elected and it's a purple Congress, we're certainly not going to see taxes change dramatically. We probably, as you say, won't see stimulus quite as big, and deficits expanded at the same pace that they have been in 2020. But I think overall, the market would be, and market, again, I don't know about all the electors, but the market, I think, would be pretty okay with that. Obviously, it would be another sugar high if we did indeed get a blue wave, Biden president and blue Congress. I think it would be another sugar high like the tax cut under President Trump, where you get a big boost, but then you've got to figure out, okay, what's next?
Well, that'll be the problem for either of them with the pandemic. So the Dow is up,
exactly,
up 532 points right now. Barclays warned investors that a drawn-out process could trigger a 10% sell-off if we start counting hanging chads like we did in 2000. Let's pause here for a minute. I want to ask you about some specific stocks and areas of the economy. John Najarian's on a phone line. John Najarian, MarketRebellion.com, is joining us. John, some stocks that you're interested in, or what looks shy of the election, what looks interesting or relevant to you today?
Well, some of the reopening plays. Now, that might be something that's foreign to folks that are seeing these COVID numbers rising as they have. But I think Disney, which is a stock that was, of course, hard hit by theaters closing, theme parks closing, not even having sports to broadcast for months and months on their ESPN and other channels. This was a real issue, but they've been making a great comeback. Stock's up to, I think, 125 today, and we've seen institutions making bets that that stock goes higher. Marriott, M-A-R, Hotelier. These are some of the, you know, the COVID stocks that did not fare well under the shutdowns, And yet people are beginning to think that sooner or later, when the vaccine comes around, we're going to have people returning to both of those kinds of properties. I've seen a little bit of hedging in some of the green energy stocks. So like First Solar or the solar ETF, which is symbol TAN, T-A-N, locking in some gains because those have had very nice upside moves into the election. And people wanting to hold on to some of those gains looks like are protecting by buying put options, which is insurance.
I suppose even if the president gets reelected and he's not a huge supporter or promoter of green energy, that green energy is coming, right? That just inevitably will be part of Earth's future. I don't know what individual, you know, solar or wind stocks are priced at, but it would seem to me like in the long run, those would be good investments.
Absolutely. It's all just a question of in the infancy stages, just like with Tesla, they benefit from that, from being an EV electric vehicle manufacturer. And by being subsidized, it gives them a chance to get to a critical mass to where they can knock prices down, which is what Musk has been doing, knocking the prices of batteries down and so forth. Mm-hmm. But if you only are making a small number of these devices, whether it's solar panels or wind or EV batteries, it's cost prohibitive. You are not competitive against fossil fuel. So I'm not surprised that both candidates might be pushing into more subsidies for Tesla and others, because Tesla's had them for years already, and so have the solar manufacturers. As they get more money, they will eventually drive prices down, and I think that'll be good for all of us.
I don't know the individual companies per se, but I suppose even if you get the sector right, maybe you didn't pick the right horse. So maybe you need to know which of those companies are the best places for your long-term investment, or I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. The rising tide will lift all of those stocks. I don't know.
Well, Chinese EV manufacturers like NIO, N-I-O, or Li, L-I, have been hot lately. And they're not benefiting from our subsidies, but, of course, they're more or less Chinese-owned entities. I think those are great picks, and I also think that if you do want to go broad, broad-based, you could go with that TAN, that ETF, that is basically an alternative energy ETF.
You said that a blue wave is already factored into the markets. Maybe we're seeing a little more anticipation of that today, but maybe not. You said it's maybe just more a function of stability. But I wonder, too, if the markets are also factoring in a stimulus package that's going to come, right? Or do you think that there might be another bump here whenever that is announced?
Well, if it's that purple instead of blue with a split Congress, then I think we're going to be looking at, like I say, March before we get a bill through, which is painful. And, you know, we should have done a skinny bill earlier for the people that really need it, but we didn't. You got to dance with the one that brung you now.
Yeah.
So we'll see exactly what happens. I think we're likely to see a bill passed in a blue Congress very quickly.
You mentioned a moment ago, that you talked a little bit about Disney, but I'm just also seeing this afternoon that Royal Caribbean has canceled sailings through the end of this year for obvious reasons. I don't know how important that is to the world's economy or to the U.S. economy, but the whole cruise industry is near and dear to my heart. You want to handicap what's going to happen to the cruise industry in 2021 for us?
I think they do make a comeback. People that are cruisers love that industry. And obviously they need to be made to believe that it's much safer. And I think overall this could be one of the beneficiaries in a huge way of all these sanitary measures that are going to be put in place, because we've all seen the cruise industry has had issues with rotavirus and norovirus and all that on their boats long before COVID. So perhaps you know, these new cleaning procedures will be something that makes those outbreaks a thing of the past, which would mean that cruisers would love cruising even more, obviously.
Yeah. Talk about pent-up demand. I mean, just I'm itching. I missed a trip this fall, and I have one scheduled for next fall. Hello, Sue Kelly. I'm going to be there for you next October. if they're sailing, then they've got to admit Americans into their countries. But that's a whole nother issue. One last question, John. Is there one of those sort of cookie surveys that predict the elections that you're interested in? I saw a story yesterday, and people come from miles around to buy the cookies that are either the blue or the red, and it's sort of an informal poll. And it always turns out to pick the presidential election. Well, this time it's a very, very red cookie choice. But then I'm reading this survey about the S&P 500 and historically what happens with the presidential election based on the trend of the S&P, which in this case would favor Joe Biden. I don't know that any of those are perfect, but is there one of these little bellwethers that you like or think is especially instructive?
Well, the one that has been right the most, other than that cookie one, which I've not heard of before, has been the question that Ronald Reagan started asking, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And, in that regard, Trump got a 60%, which is one of the highest ever readings for that particular survey. Now, we'll see. You know, the man is hated across half the country, but the question is electoral votes. And in those states that the polls have narrowed up in, we'll see whether he's got enough to pull it out. But I would say overall, the polling is probably correct that Biden will easily win the popular vote. Yeah. But then it's going to come down to those, you know, like I say, those North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, those kinds of states that could turn the election.
One does wonder how competitive this election would be were there not a coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
If Trump were just running on the economy, how close would this election be?
Yeah, I don't think it would be close then. Yeah. But, again, you got to dance with the one that brung you and
just
take the market you got, not the one you want.
I was just going to double quote you on that one. You got to dance with who brung you. And we brung John Nigerian, founder of MarketRebellion.com. Nice to talk to you today, John.
Thank you very much, John. Have a great day.
12:36. I was going to mention this earlier. So much of the election is tied to COVID-19, and so much of COVID-19 is tied to the election. I thought it was interesting that the two big newspapers in the state of Pennsylvania, that pivotal battleground state, right? Plenty of smart people say that for the president to win, he needs Pennsylvania. Yesterday, the Pittsburgh Gazette announced its endorsement of Donald Trump. The Philadelphia Inquirer is endorsing Joe Biden. Even the papers are split right down the middle there. I think it's a one-point advantage, we heard earlier today, for the vice president, but within the margin of error. That in Florida and the rest of them are too close to call now. And even if they weren't, history has taught us that when you think you know, you should know, you don't know. Also, on Election Day, the freebies that Lauren Lapka was referring to, I have a list of some of them as well. I did not know there were so many businesses that are doing this. I guess this happens every 2-4 years, 1 year, every November maybe, but it does seem to be especially noteworthy this year. And you mentioned, Lauren, that it is against the law to offer something in exchange for your vote.
Yes, which I guess that makes sense. I never really saw it that way. But you could.
Don't tell Willie Wilson that. But I mean, so even though, but I'm not the candidate. I'm McDonald's or White Castle. But I guess you're not supposed to offer something in exchange for voting, huh?
Isn't that almost like lobbying?
It is, or bribing, or buying. So maybe everybody's going to get this, but they say they want to see your I voted sticker, or in some cases, I think it's Shake Shack. Let me double check here. I've got a list. One of the really good sandwich shops is offering, Shake Shack is offering to poll workers, not for their vote, but for their service, a free sandwich, including the Shake Shack burger and the Chicken Shack. I guess that's their chicken sandwich through Election Day. If you have a badge that shows you are a poll worker, an election worker, Shake Shack will give you a free sandwich today. Corner Bakery, today and tomorrow, buy a sandwich or a panini and get the second one free at participating locations. Jimmy John's, 50% off. Also, Uber and Lyft are giving you big discounts on your ride if you go to a polling place. So maybe you tell them that your polling place is, you know, downtown, wherever you want to go. It sounds like you're going to get 50% off a round trip on Uber and Lyft, 50% off one ride, up to $10 today to any polling location, or a Dropbox when you use the promo code 2020VOTE. Some of the food delivery places, because I think a lot of people are just going to be, it's going to be kind of like the Super Bowl in a way. You know, two teams battling it out, hearts will be broken, folks glued to their TV sets. So a lot of the delivery services, Grubhub and DoorDash, are offering discounts on the food delivered as well. Sonic Drive-In, get half-price cheeseburgers from 5 p.m. until the restaurants close as part of Sonic's weekly family night. And the list goes on. 1241 on WGN. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about other business news. I'm just looking at some of the things Amy Guth is going to visit with us on in just a moment. But right now, let's keep the business news rolling. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Pilots at some U.S. airlines and families of crash victims think the government can improve its proposal for pilot training on the Boeing 737 MAX. That's the plane that has been grounded since March of 2019 after two crashes killed 346 people. The Federal Aviation Administration is getting close to letting those planes fly again. One of the last hurdles remaining is a new pilot training program. Families of the victims of one of the crashes say the FAA's training proposal isn't comprehensive enough. Boeing hopes the FAA approves changes to the plane before the end of the year. Mondelez International beat estimates by a penny a share with quarterly earnings of 63 cents per share. The Chicago maker of Oreo cookies and other snacks saw its revenue top forecast as well. Mondelez continues to benefit from stay-at-home consumers stocking up on snacks. University of Chicago Medicine will begin testing another COVID-19 vaccine. Researchers are looking for 2,000 people to enroll in a Phase 3 clinical trial on a single-dose shot of a vaccine candidate produced by Janssen Pharmaceutical, which is part of Johnson & Johnson. They're seeking a diverse representation of adults, younger and older. This is the second vaccine trial at U of C Medicine. They've been conducting the Moderna trial as well. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, it's 12:51 on WGN Radio. Amy Guth, talk to us about pot sales, shall we?
Sure, let's talk about that. Well, a record has been hit, and that is a big milestone. Illinois recreational marijuana sales have hit the $500 million mark. We saw increasing sales from summer and July. It rose another 11%. That's the best showing in the last 3 months. So cannabis retailers recorded $75.3 million in sales last month. So that breaks out into about $2.4 million per day. So that's nearly double the amount of January when it was first legalized, of course. I think it'll be very interesting to look back at the year and then kind of let the 12 months tell the story. But I think another thing that's very interesting about this number is that Illinois marijuana sales are doing so well that it's caught the attention of a lot of people in the industry, a lot of investment being made here in the recreational marijuana business, but also other states. Several of them have legalization measures on the ballot today: New Jersey, Arizona, Montana, and South Dakota on that list. So a lot of other states have kind of reached out saying, hey, things seem to be going well. Tell us how you did it. Kind of like we did when we were looking to legalize it. We reached out to states and to see what we could learn from them. Other states now are saying, okay, Illinois seems to be doing something right. What can we learn from them?
I talked to the first person to make a legal sale in the state of Illinois. It was at a shop near me. And so I went over there that morning early and interviewed them as they came out. And you sort of thought that it wouldn't be a flash in the pan, but sales would not be so robust. It seems like this is more money than I thought we would be talking about at this point, Amy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of budget planning was very conservative in terms of that number, thinking But it would take a while to kind of get the stigma of recreational use to go away, but that really doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to be that, you know, it has picked up steam. Now, a lot of that, July was a big uptick because that's when a lot of cultivation centers came online. There are still more. There are some lawsuits pending about the social equity piece of that and some other licensees. So I anticipate that number even, you know, going even further on these big jumps when we see these big milestones hit of, you know, a new center opening, new production facility, things like that. That's where we have hit the $500 million mark, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in other states today that have referendums on the ballot for legalization in their states.
And the tax rate isn't a simple number on a simple amount, but the tax is onerous. It wasn't enough to keep people from buying it. I guess maybe it wasn't onerous then, but I remember looking at people's receipts, and they were paying a lot in taxes for the various products they were buying. If we're at $500 million in sales in 10 months, then evidently we're making many tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the state as well. Let's talk about pilots, unions,
yeah,
and the crash families of the 737 MAX. What's going on here?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of us have been keeping an eye on Boeing since March of 2019, when that second 737 MAX crash happened and that jet was grounded. So here in what I think Boeing believes will be just the final bits of things to get sorted out before that plane can return to the air, they released some safety requirements and training, documentation, things like that. And pilots unions and families and friends of people on, in particular, the second crash, the Ethiopian Air crash, that second one that got the grounding started, they have pushed back. So the pilots union for Southwest Airlines, they called it clunky at best, which is that their words, not mine, clunky at best. And they said that it should be streamlined a lot more. The family group that was making part of the public comment period for the FAA, they were much harsher, and they were saying, you know, they need to go much further and ensure that these design changes are done and that people will be safe and secure. And, you know, this is about failure of this aircraft. I mean, they really had some harsh language. There were a lot of other public comments. Some of them were minor technical things that didn't really seem to be, you know, like they would make a huge change on what's been changed about the aircraft. But, you know, the bigger story, I think, that's really interesting about Boeing here, you know, their rival Airbus, they're just kind of the two big players in the aeronautics space, in the aircraft manufacturers. And, you know, they have been through so much this year. They have, you know, they had this whole scandal going. They had a lot of internal turmoil with whistleblowers and, you know, all this stuff. But it's really highlighted how the FAA was certifying planes and kind of deputizing people within Boeing to kind of self-certify in this honor system. And some whistleblowers indicated, hey, that we were under a lot of pressure to get these planes out, and there could have been some oversight here. So I think really this Boeing story, as long as it's been going on, I mean, of March of 2019, it's been ongoing for a while. As the shoes continue to drop for this Boeing story, I think it's really pointing to a very different way that things will operate with the FAA going forward. You know, we've seen even some legislative pieces of this. So this last bit, you have American and Southwest pilots going, hey, this is not enough. We want more. We want more training. You know, those are the people who are going to be handling these aircraft, and God forbid, in an emergency, would be doing so. So still not out of the water, you know, out of the woods yet. Boeing is still very positive that it's going to be certified by the end of the year, but we shall see. There's still a lot ahead for them.
45 seconds left, Amy, and I'm shocked, but not surprised, I guess. I guess I can't be both. But ticket sales for movies, 97% off. AMC is struggling.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about AMC, knowing that they would release their Q3 results after the markets closed yesterday, and indeed they did, 97% in the 3 months ending September. That's a $901 million loss. So it was just as stark as we all thought it would be, if not more so. It was really, really, really pretty stark. A little bit lesser for if you take the international number, the all-in global number, it's about 82%. But 97% is just stunning and really points to even once theaters started to open, people do not feel safe going to movie theaters just yet. So we'll see what happens for AMC in the future.
Amy Guth following a lot of business for us. Thanks, Amy. We'll visit again.
Thanks so much.